Saram, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. This is an opportunity that Bhagwan has blessed us with to relish and ruminate on the beautiful bhajans that Bhagwan himself used to relish in the earlier era, in the 60s and 70s. And since we started this series, we have had the opportunity to dwell on many beautiful melodies that used to be sung in the Sanctum Sanctorum of Prashanthinilayam. And today we take up one more such beautiful composition. The lyrics are profound, the meaning is very meditative, and the tune is elevating. The first line of the bhajan goes like this.
Om Hari Om Sai Shankara Om.
Like in every episode of Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom, we will have Brother Srinivaslu sharing with us the tune of this classic from the old and golden era. And after that, we'll move on to deliberating on every word of this bhajan. Of course, we will discuss before that its raga, the beat of the bhajan. And once we are done with the raga, the bhava and the tala, we will listen to this bhajan once again and sing it now with confidence, with energy and with utmost dedication as our offering of love at His lotus feet. So let's begin now getting familiar with the lyrics of this bhajan.
Om Hari Om Sai Shankara Om. Om Hari Om Shiridi Purishwara Om. Parthi Vihari Sivom Trinetra Dhari Sivom. Patita Pavana Pahi Mahesha. Siva Siva Hara Hara Om.
So now that you know the words that make the bhajan, here is how to sing this bhajan. Brother Srinivasulu will now sing for us every line of this bhajan. And as Anirudh follows him after every line, dear listeners, you too, please join in and enjoy.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale D Pancham.
Om Hari Om Sai Shankara Om. Om Hari Om Sai Shankara Om. Om Hari Om Shankara Om.
Om Hari Om Sai Shankara Om.
Om Hari Om Shiridi Purishwara
Shivom,
ஓம் பதித பாவனா பாஹி மகேஷா சிவ சிவ ஹர ஹர ஓம்
பதித பாவனா பாஹி மகேஷா சிவ சிவ ஹர ஹர ஓம்
பதித பாவனா பாஹி மகேஷா சிவ சிவ ஹர ஹர ஓம்
பதித பாவனா பாஹி மகேஷா சிவ சிவ ஹர ஹர ஓம்
So that's how powerfully the tune of this bhajan flows. It's very powerful, it's elevating and it's profound. For some reason, the bhajans in which Om appears, those bhajans have a character of their own. And this bhajan, which is dedicated to Lord Shiva and has Om, and the way it is constructed, has a completely supremely elevating flavor and sublimating feel. So let us learn a little more about what makes this bhajan so very special. Anirudh is here with us to share with us his insights. So tell us, Anirudh, what are your thoughts on the makeup of this bhajan?
Sairam Vishu.
Sairam.
As you rightly said, it's very unique to note that the bhajans in which the Om is being introduced in the lyrics has somehow a very, very meditative approach to the bhajan. And like how Swami had mentioned in many discourses, and any prayer session starts with Om.
Yes.
So be it Vedam or be it bhajans or be it stotrams.
Yes.
So it is so powerful.
Absolutely.
And the music which supports this Omkar, and I mean the raga behind this bhajan, which is the root for that sublimating feel which you told, is a raga called Revati in the Carnatic classical music. It has just 5 notes, which is very powerful. It is said that this raga is close to Lord Shiva.
Mm-hmm.
And you have many compositions on Nataraja, that is Lord Shiva, in this raga. One of the very famous is
Bo Shambho Shiva Shambho Swayambho.
You would have heard this.
Yes.
Many artists singing this composition in various occasions. And coming to the structure of this raga, as I told you, it is 5 notes.
Sa re
Komal Dri
Ma Pa Ni
Komal Ni
Sa Ni Pa Ma Re Sa.
And a very interesting note for this bhajan is that the first line starts off with a Revati kind of flavor. And in the second line, it's very unique that it goes to that. It goes to the Shuddha Dha.
Om Hari Om Shirdi Purishwara Om.
So this introduction of Shuddha Dha is from the raga called Chakravakam in the Carnatic classical music, or we call it Ahir Bhairav.
Okay.
And you have many bhajans in Ahir Bhairav.
Dha sa sa re ga ma pa da ni sa sa ni da va ma ga ma re sa.
It is a sampurna raga where you have all the 7 notes. So the composer has beautifully blended the Revati and the Ahir Bhairav, and which gives a very, very
yes,
elevating as well as the soothing flavor.
But it is, the Revati feeling is maintained.
Yeah. The heaviness is maintained because the re is there in both the ragas.
Mm. Sa re sa.
Whereas the
dha,
little more pleading to Lord.
Yes.
Om Hari Om Shirdi Purishwara Om.
Then you come back to the heaviness flavor.
Parti Vihari Shivo.
So there you come back to the Ahir Bhairav again. It's a good play of Revati and Ahir Bhairav.
Ga.
The Shuddh Ga is being introduced there.
Trinetra Dhari Shivom Patita Pavana Pahi Mahesha Shiva Shiva Hara Hara Om Panida Pamagare Gare Sa.
So there also the Da is coming.
Yes.
So each line, it's beautiful in its own way. And what I can say, it's very nicely composed in a flavor of Revati and the Ahir Bhairav, which gives a really meditative feel as well as a soothing and a pleading flavor also.
Wonderful. So would you like to do an alap in Rag Revati?
Yeah, it is one of my very favorite ragas. I would give a try.
Sure.
Was in Revati, and the last bit of the alap, I just sang the Avrohana of the Ahir Bhairav.
Sane da pamaga re sa sare ga ma pada ni dha pa da ma Shankara Om Sai. ni sa re. Re ma pa ma re ma pa ma re sa. Sa re sa ni pa ni sa re. Re ma pa ma re ma pa ma re sa. Om Hari Om Shirdi Pudishwara Om Danida Pamama Pani Papani Nisari Nisa Danida Pamama Pani Papani Nisari Nisa Parti Vihari Shivom Trinetra Dhari Shivom Sa 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 Sari Sari Nisari Gappa Gari Risani Nirisa Sa 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 sare sare ni sare ga pa ga re re sa ni ni re sa patita pavana pahi mahesha shiva shiva har har o sa 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 re sa ni sa ni pa ma ma pa ni ma pa ma pa ni da pa ma ga re ga re sa 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 re sa ni sa ni pa ma ma pa ni ma pa ma pa ni da pa ma ga re ga re sa
And as you said, I think there are many bhajans which have this flavor, isn't it?
Yeah, there are a lot of Revati bhajans. The very common one which comes to my mind first is
Bhasma Bhushitanga Sai Chandra Shekhara Om Namah Shivaya Om Namah Shivaya Raghava Sundara Rama Raghuvara Sai Tere Charano Mein Koti Pranam.
So it goes on and on. And coming to the Ahir Bhairav and Revati kind of flavor, you have this very, very nice bhajan.
Govinda Bolo, Gopala Bolo.
Here the first line sounds very heavy, almost like Revati.
Ram Ram Bolo, Hare Naam Bolo.
And of course it goes more into Ahir Bhairav. And you also have
Ishwaramba Priyatanaya Sai Narayana.
Very soulful bhajan.
Yes.
On Mother Ishwaramba in Raga Ahir Bhairav.
And all these bhajans generally have a special effect when you sing it in the mornings, isn't it?
Yeah, it makes you, your eyes closed and just go back.
Yes.
And get connected to Bhagwan. Swami.
Wonderful. So, let's do the beat.
Yeah, the beat of this bhajan is the regular 8 beat or Adi Talam or Kaherva in the Hindustani classical music. So, let's have the count. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1,
Shirdi Puri.
Beautiful. Thank you very much, Anirudh and Anand.
Thank you, Vishu.
Sairam.
So with that, we are done now with the lyrics of the bhajan. We've got an idea of how this bhajan flows. We've discussed the beat of the bhajan. And we now come to another most significant part of bhajan singing, which is, in fact, the heart, the soul of every bhajan. And that is the feeling that is latent in every word, in every single sound that we produce. So let's start with the first line of this bhajan.
Om Hari Om Sai Shankara Om.
The word Om refers to the primordial sound from which the entire cosmos emerged. During the summer course of 1979, Bhagwan revealed the basis for the acceptance of God as the eternal being is his indestructibility. And for this indestructible God, Om is the name. In another discourse, Swami explained, in the human body there are 6 nerve centers and each of them is in the form of a lotus flower. All the 6 lotus flowers have letters or sounds attached to each petal. Like the reeds in the harmonium, when the petals are moved, each one emits a distinct sound. Now those who follow this statement intelligently might get a doubt. If the petals are said to move, who or what is moving them? And Bhagwan says, yes, the force that moves them is the anahata dhvani, the primeval sound, the undistinguished, indistinguishable sound, emanating without effort, irrespective of conscious will. This substratum of all sounds is the pranava. As the beats in the string, all the letters and the sounds they represent are strung on the pranava. The pranava is the basis of every other sound conceivable and inconceivable in this cosmos. On another beautiful occasion, Swami said, the pranava was taught to every child as the very first sound when it was initiated into the alphabets. We call letters as akshara, the unchanging. Om is the symbol of the unchanging, eternal, universal, supreme Godhead. And that was the very first letter taught to every child of India. So there is so much deep meaning of the seemingly simple sound, Om. Moving on, the next word, Hari. Bhagwan explains that Hari means remover or destroyer, since he destroys hurdles on the path of human beings to sadhana. He removes the obstacles on the path of our spiritual discipline. The word Shankara is often considered the divine aspect responsible for the dissolution of the cosmos. Shankara is Lord Shiva. Mr. S.V. Giri, one of the former vice chancellors of the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, once said, in the Holy Trinity, many people wonder why Lord Shiva chose destruction. We know Brahma is attributed with creation and Vishnu with sustenance, but why is Shiva associated with annihilation? And Mr. S.V. Giri explained, it is not destroying nature. It is destroying what is not good, destroying what is not pure, what is imperfect and what is undesirable. As we know in our common experience, removing the impure from the pure requires a great amount of discretion. Only a master can have the discretion of removing what is not good. When gold is burnt, the metal does not burn. Only the impurity in gold burns and the gold actually becomes purer. Only a master like Lord Shiva can remove the impurities from our heart. And Bhagwan truly is that master goldsmith who carefully weeds out the impurities within us. That is why he is Sai Shankara, the one who destroys all that is unpleasant within us. What is also interesting in this line is that both Hari and Shankara come side by side. Well, the names and forms of God may be different, but they are just different paths that lead to the single God. There's a sweet experience of a devotee which was published in the 1984 issue of Sanatana Sarathi magazine. One day, some friends of this devotee suddenly decided to go to a Shiva temple. They told him that it was an auspicious day. He too went with his friends through the milling crowds and stood at the side railings near the Sanctum Sanctorum. As the idol was somewhat in a lower position and there was a lot of crowd, he could not have a glimpse of the Lord. So he resorted to meditation, closing his eyes and trying to visualize the Lord. And while he was trying to do this, the symbol that kept appearing in his mind is the picture of Lord Ranganatha in Srirangam, a famous shrine in Tamil Nadu where there is a wonderful temple dedicated to Lord Vishnu. But what he was actually trying to mentally visualize is the Shivalingam, because that was a Shiva shrine. He was trying to recreate in his mind's eye the symbol of three sacred horizontal vibhuti marks. But every time he tried to visualize the Shivalingam and the horizontal vibhuti lines, what came in the consciousness of his mind is something very different. It was always the vision of Sri Ranganatha. And finally, tired of what was happening and unable to understand, he prayed to Bhagwan, "Swami, I want to visualize Lord Shiva. Why are you giving me the vision of Sri Ranganatha? I want the horizontal vibhuti lines, not the vertical Vaishnavite lines that you are constantly giving me again and again." And at that very instant, he heard the familiar voice of Bhagwan. And Swami, with his intriguing smile, said, "Yes, I know you are going to pose this question, and hence I am giving you this picture in your mind's eye. Otherwise, I would have given you the darshan as Lord Venkateshwara in a vertical manner. Tell me, what will happen to the Namam of Vishnu if he lies down as Sri Ranganatha? Will there not become the horizontal Namam? And that is what you are seeking for, isn't it?" And then suddenly Bhagwan's voice became stern and serious, and he said, "Am I not telling you repeatedly to give up these names and forms and meditate on the formless?" And the moment Bhagwan made this statement, that very moment the Namam of Lord Ranganatha began revolving and became pure white light with increasing brilliance. The devotee lost all sense of time and place, and he just stood still for some time until the priest brought to him the arati plate and said, "Sir, please accept arati." When the light inside him started glowing, that is when the priest tapped him and he opened his eyes to see the light now which was outside. Hari and Hara, Shiva and Krishna, all are same when it comes to the forms of the Lord, who is truly formless as Om. And that is what is so beautifully conveyed, so powerfully communicated in this first line. Let's move on to the second line.
Om Hari Om Shirdi Purishwara Om.
The only new word here is Shirdi Purishwara, which comes from Shirdi, Puri and Ishwara. Shirdi, of course, refers to the holy space, holy village in the state of Maharashtra, where Bhagwan incarnated as Shirdi Sai in his previous incarnation. Puri means place, Ishwara means Lord. In the book Loving God, Professor Kasturi writes about one student of his at the Maharaja's college at Mysore by name Siddha Veerappa. He was a lawyer practicing at Davangere. Siddha Veerappa was a member of the Constituent Assembly which drew up the Constitution of India. On his way to Delhi, he was induced by an inner voice to halt at Shirdi. And many years later, Bhagwan saw Siddha Veerappa in the midst of a group of lawyers. spotting him, Bhagwan said, "Hey, I had seen you in Shirdi." And he went on to mention further the exact date, month and year. Of course, Siddhavirapa went speechless. Later on one occasion, Bhagwan created a lingam for him and also visited his home where the lingam was ritually installed. And on this occasion, Bhagwan now granted him a vision of himself as Shirdi Sai. As an offshoot of this exhilarating revelation, Siddhavirapa, while as home minister of the state, gave a big plot of land in the center of the city of Davangere for the erection of a Satya Sai service center and the installation therein of a statue of Shirdi Sai as well as Satya Sai. So the same indestructible principle, Om, came down as Shirdi Sai, and that is what is conveyed in the second line. Let's move on to the third line.
Pati Vihari Shivom, Trinetra Dhari Shivom.
Parti Vihari comes from Parti, and Vihari means resident of. Shivom is a combination of Shiva and Om. Shiva means auspiciousness. Bhagwan once spoke of the profound lessons of life that we must learn from Lord Shiva, and he said, "The form of Shiva is itself a great lesson in tolerance and forbearance. The halahala poison is hidden by him in his throat. The beneficent moon, which everyone welcomes, Shiva wears on his head." And that is a profound lesson. We have to keep away from others all that is harmful. And we need to use for others' benefit all that is useful in our command. If one uses his skills for one's own advancement and uses his evil propensities for putting down others, he is only taking the road to ruin. Just like Shiva, we have to spread calmness and coolness outside and keep all the negativity inside so that it does not affect anyone outside. The third word is Trinetra Dhari, and this can be split into Trinetra and Dhari. Trinetra comes from three in Sanskrit, which means three, and Netra refers to the eye. The word Dhari means to bear. Thus Trinetra Dhari means he who has three eyes. Lord Shiva is always depicted as having a third eye in the center of the forehead between the two eyebrows, in addition to the two normal eyes. And this third eye denotes the eye of wisdom. The other two represent love and justice. When the Lord looks at and deals with the world, he is both loving and just. Justice without compassion becomes too harsh at times. And Shiva here exemplifies a good ruler who has both love and justice and also looks at the world with the vision of knowledge. Knowledge that destroys all ignorance and passion. So there is much more to this Trinetra Dhari. Bhagwan also refers to how he is the knower of the past, present and future. And there is much more that each one of us can discover as we read Bhagwan's discourses delivered on different occasions, especially during the Shivaratri celebrations. So that is a glimpse of what is conveyed in this third line, Parti Vihari Shivom, Trinetra Dhari Shivom. Let's move on to the last line.
Patita Pavana Pahi Mahesha Shiva Shiva Hara Hara Om.
Patita refers to one who has fallen or who has sinned. Pavana means the one who purifies. Pahi means protect. Mahesha can be split into Maha, great, and Isha, Lord. Hara is another name of Lord Shiva, and it means he who destroys. Mr. Philip Matthew Prasad was born in a highly religious family in the state of Kerala in South India. Though he grew up in an atmosphere of communal harmony and understood the basic principles common to all religions, there was an abrupt change in his outlook when he entered college. Marxian thought had a deep impact on him, and he became a fanatical atheist. Over the next few years, one thing led to another, and he soon became one of the founding members of the first All India Committee of Naxalites, which was formed in Calcutta in 1986. He got caught up in armed conflicts with the police and in looting of landlords while working for the tribals in the hilly tracts of Kerala, and within a year, he got imprisoned. When Philip was all alone in his cell in the district jail at Kozhikode in 1973, he felt great turmoil within him and began contemplating on the problems of life. A deep spiritual hunger erupted inside him. He was disillusioned with the ideology and the path that he had chosen, and then came a turning point. The local Satyasai organization conducted bhajans in the jail right outside his cell. The very first time Philip heard the bhajans, he fretted and fumed mainly because of the negative attitude that he always had towards anything spiritual. When the bhajans ended, a Sai volunteer walked up to his cell and lovingly gave an orange as prasadam through the iron bars. But Philip was so enraged at the volunteer that he threw the orange back, which hit the backside of the head of the volunteer. The volunteer, however, simply turned, looked at Philip. He had no anger, no hatred, no fear, and simply smiled and walked away. Later, Philip reflected deeply on this episode, and it caused a deep moral dilemma in his heart. There were too many things going on within him. He did not have answers. The agony of his heart was piercing him, and one night, he simply started crying uncontrollably. For the first time in his life, he felt compelled to pray. He remembered the Lord's Prayer that his mother had taught in his childhood. And now he prayed. And he prayed asking God for just one boon. He said, "O Lord, I want to sleep. Please bless me so that I can sleep." Because he was undergoing so much pain that his restlessness was killing him. And the moment he made this intense prayer to the Lord, he slipped immediately into a sweet, dreamless, deep sleep. And that night turned everything for Philip. When he woke up in the morning, he had regained his lost faith. And the next 4 years he spent in the prison, it was always spent in prayer, in namasmarana, in contemplation, and in the study of various religious scriptures. In fact, with time, he also read about Shirdi Sai. And when he read about Satya Sai, he felt a spontaneous affinity for Bhagwan, because to him, Bhagwan appeared as the messiah of harmony of all the religions in modern India. Finally, when Philip came out of prison, he studied and he became a lawyer, and then dedicated himself to the uplift of the downtrodden masses. He became a political activist and a social worker. Once he met a great monk, and this monk's respectful words about Bhagwan and his advice to read the book Sai Baba, Man of Miracles, had a deep impact on Philip. 2 days before Christmas in 1984, Philip had left his box containing his lawyer's coat and case files in his father's house in the city. The day after Christmas, his father brought it to him. When Philip opened the box, he heard a metallic sound. It was a ring with the face of Shirdi Sai embossed on it, and it was perfect fit on his finger. Though he was ecstatic, he was in bliss, but at the same time, his mind was skeptical. He doubted if some overzealous devotee eager to spread Baba's message had placed the ring in his box. So he went round the shops in his area where such mementos were sold. He was looking for a similar ring, but he did not find one. And he says, "I failed miserably to find a similar ring, but inside, I was actually very happy." Shortly after this, he came to Prashantinilayam. For the first time in his life, he had Bhagwan's darshan. But there was this burden of guilt in his heart He was all the time concerned about the suspicious looks of others. And that prevented him from smiling. That prevented him from being happy. Bhagwan called him for an interview. It was 1985. And Philip recalls, "Swami accepted me as I was, lock, stock and barrel, without tampering with me. That unconditional acceptance filled me with bliss." In that interview, which lasted for 45 minutes, Swami repeated 17 times just this: "Don't taint your conscience with guilt." He went on to add, "No one had accepted me before as Swami accepted me, not even my mother. This acceptance triggered a stream of tears. And this stream of tears drenched not only my dress, but also Bhagwan's robe. Swami wiped my tears with his own handkerchief, materialized vibhuti, and he himself poured it into my mouth." And Bhagwan then went on to materialize a ring with an emerald for Philip. And while gifting it, he looked at the ring that already was on Philip's finger. And with a twinkle in his eyes, Bhagwan asked, "Is that ring available in the shops?" Philip understood that Baba was taunting him for his doubting nature. Bhagwan also materialized gifts for every member of his family. Philip became an effective Sai messenger, and he used his talent for public speaking and writing and his zeal for social work for common good. But the story does not end there. There's an interesting twist. Philip was once invited by the Satyasaya organization of Kozhikode to speak about Baba. It was to a packed audience in the town hall in the city. During his talk, Philip mentioned the first Sai Bhajan he had attended in the prison and his angry reaction to a Sai volunteer. After he finished his talk, an old man named Mr. Shankar Iyer came and he insisted that Philip visit his home nearby. Mr. Shankar was a wholesale flower merchant who had become a devotee of Baba many decades earlier. And now Mr. Shankar offered a cup of coffee to Philip, and after he drank it, he broke down and he said, "Mr. Philip, I was the volunteer whom you had hit in the prison that year. I was the one who was hit by that orange. And when that orange had hit Mr. Shankar, only a prayer erupted from his heart. As he looked at Philip, he said, 'Swami, please shower your mercy on this boy. Please transform him so that he becomes happy in life. Maybe someday, with your grace, I can offer him a cup of coffee in my house.'" The real turning point in Philip's life was not his first interview with Bhagwan, but in fact, his throwing that orange at the Satyasai volunteer. Because that was the moment when the orange-robed one gate crashed into his heart. Maybe the Lord could not wait any longer. When the Lord decides to purify, He knows the best time, the best method, and the most powerful method, and that is why He is Shiva, Sai Shiva, who purifies us, who protects us, and who uplifts us. So that is a glimpse of what is conveyed in this last line. What we have discussed now is just one of the million ways of relating to every word of this bhajan. Dear listeners, please spend your own time in meditation. Spend your own time in reading Bhagwan's discourses, and you will find immersed in many beautiful insights into His glory as you sing this bhajan, as you immerse in the beauty of His names through these beautiful melodies. So now let's sing this bhajan once again, contemplating on these beautiful aspects of His majesty, of His glory, and pour our heart out through this melody. You will now listen to the Prashanti Mandir version of this bhajan.
Hari Om Sai Shankara. ಶಂಕರ ಶಿವ ಶಿವ ಹರ ಹರ ಶಿವ ಶಿವ ಹರ ಹರ ಪತಿತ ಪಾವನ ಪಾಹಿ ಮಹೇಶ ಶಿವ ಶಿವ ಹರ ಪತಿತ ಪಾವನ ಪಾಹಿ ಮಹೇಶ ಶಿವ ಶಿವ ಹರ ಹರ
So with that, we've come to the end of the current episode of Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. If you have any queries or comments, dear listeners, you're most welcome. Please feel free to share with us. As always, you can write to listener at radiosai.com. www.radiofreedusa.org. With gratitude and love, we offer this endeavor at the lotus feet of our most beautiful, beloved Bhagwan.
So with that, dear listeners, it's time to move on to the next segment. Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam and brothers Prem and Harishankar will take over. You're going to ruminate on Bhagwan's discourses for the next 60 minutes. I will be back after this and we are going to have a fresh episode of Vahini Satsang. Brother Raman Javeri from the university will be joining us, me and Sai Prakash. And today we move on to the 6th chapter of Prema Vahini. So for the next 2 hours, we are going to have Satsang, ruminating on Bhagwan's discourses, on Bhagwan's writings. And let's begin with Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. Thank you so much. Sayonara.